Chapter 1 of The Tale of Little Pig Robinson by Beatrix Potter. This Legimus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Read by Rachel. Chapter 1. When I was a child, I used to go to the seaside for the holidays. We stayed in a little town where there was a harbor and fishing boats and fishermen. They sailed away to catch herrings in nets. When the boats came back home again, some had only caught a few herrings. Others had caught so many that they could not be all unloaded onto the quay. The horses and carts were driven into the shallow water at low tide to meet the heavily laden boats. The fish were shoveled over the side of the boat into the carts and taken to the railway station, where a special train of fish trucks was waiting. Great was the excitement when the fishing boats returned with a good catch of herrings. Half the people in the town ran down to the quay, including cats. There was a white cat named Susan, who never missed meeting the boats. She belonged to the wife of an old fisherman named Sam. The wife's name was Betsy. She had rheumatics, and she had no family except Susan and 5 hens. Betsy sat by the fire, her back ached. She said, "Ow, ow," whenever she had to put coal on and stir the pot. Susan sat opposite to Betsy. She felt sorry for Betsy. She wished she knew how to put the coal on and stir the pot. All day long they sat by the fire while Sam was away fishing. They had a cup of tea and some milk. "Susan," said Betsy, "I can hardly stand up. Go to the front gate and look out for Master's boat." Susan went out and came back. 3 or 4 times she went out into the garden. At last, late in the afternoon, she saw the sails of the fishing fleet coming in over the sea. "Go down to the harbor. Ask Master for 6 herrings. I will cook them for supper. Take my basket, Susan." Susan took the basket. Also, she borrowed Betsy's bonnet and a little plaid shawl. I saw her hurrying down to the harbor. Other cats were coming out of the cottages and running down the steep streets that lead to the seafront. Also ducks. I remember that they were most peculiar ducks with topknots that looked like tam-o'-shanter caps. Everybody was hurrying to meet the boats, nearly everybody. I only met one person, a dog called Stumpy, who was going the opposite way. He was carrying a paper parcel in his mouth. Some dogs do not care for fish. Stumpy had been to the butcher's to buy mutton chops for himself and Bob and Percy and Miss Rose. Stumpy was a large, serious, well-behaved brown dog with a short tail. He lived with Bob the retriever, and Percy the cat, and Miss Rose, who kept house. Stumpy had belonged to a very rich old gentleman, and when the old gentleman died, he left money to Stumpy, 10 shillings a week for the rest of Stumpy's life. So that was why Stumpy and Bob and Percy the cat all lived together in a pretty little house. Susan, with her basket, met Stumpy at the corner of Broad Street. Susan made a curtsy. She would have stopped to inquire after Percy, only she was in a hurry to meet the boat. Percy was lame. He had hurt his foot. It had been trapped under the wheel of a milk cart. Stumpy looked at Susan out of the corner of his eye. He wagged his tail, but he did not stop. He could not bow or say good afternoon for fear of dropping the parcel of mutton chops. He turned out of Broad Street into Woodbine Lane, where he lived. He pushed open the front door and disappeared into a house. Presently, there was a smell of cooking, and I have no doubt that Stumpy and Bob and Miss Rose enjoyed their mutton chops. Percy could not be found at dinner time. He had slipped out of the window, and, like all the other cats in the town, he had gone to meet the fishing boats. Susan hurried along Broad Street and took the short cut to the harbor down a steep flight of steps. The ducks had wisely gone another way, round by the seafront. The steps were too steep and slippery for anyone less sure-footed than a cat. Susan went down quickly and easily. There were 43 steps, rather dark and slimy, between high backs of houses. A smell of ropes and pitch and a good deal of noise came up from below. At the bottom of the steps was the quay or landing place, beside the inner harbor. The tide was out, there was no water, the vessels rested on the dirty mud. Several ships were moored beside the quay, others were anchored inside the breakwater. Near the steps, coal was being unloaded from two grimy colliers named the Marjorie Daw of Sunderland and the Jenny Jones of Cardiff. Men ran along planks with wheelbarrowfuls of coal. Coal scoops were swung ashore by cranes and emptied with loud thumping and rattling. Farther along the quay, another ship called the Pound of Candles was taking a mixed cargo on board. Bales, casks, packing cases, barrels, all manner of goods were being stowed into the hold. Sailors and stevedores shouted. Chains rattled and clanked. Susan waited for an opportunity to slip past the noisy crowd. She watched a cask of cider that bobbed and swung in the air on its passage from the quay to the deck of the Pound of Candles. A yellow cat who sat in the rigging was also watching the cask. The rope ran through the pulley. The cask went down bobbity onto the deck, where a sailor man was waiting for it. Said the sailor down below, "Look out! Mind your head, young sir! Stand out of the way!" "Wee, wee, wee!" grunted a small pink pig, scampering round the deck of the Pound of Candles. The yellow cat in the rigging watched the small pink pig. The yellow cat in the rigging looked across at Susan on the quay. The yellow cat winked. Susan was surprised to see a pig on board a ship, but she was in a hurry. She threaded her way along the quay, amongst coal and cranes and men wheeling hand-trucks, and noises and smells. She passed the fish auction, and fish boxes, and fish sorters, and barrels that women were filling with herrings and salt. Seagulls swooped and screamed. Hundreds of fish boxes and tons of fresh fish were being loaded into the hold of a small steamer. Susan was glad to get away from the crowd, down a much shorter flight of steps onto the shore of the outer harbor. The ducks arrived soon afterwards, waddling and quacking. And old Sam's boat, the Betsy Timmins, last of the herring fleet and heavy laden, came in round the breakwater and drove her blunt nose into the shingle. Sam was in high spirits. He had had a big catch. He and his mate and two lads commenced to unload their fish into carts, as the tide was too low to float the fishing boat up to the quay. The boat was full of herrings. But good luck or bad luck, Sam never failed to throw a handful of herrings to Susan. "Here's for the two old girls and a hot supper. Catch them, Susan. Honest now, here's a broken fish for you. Now take the others to Betsy." The ducks were dabbling and gobbling, the seagulls were screaming and swooping. Susan climbed the steps with her basket of herrings and went home by the back streets. Old Betsy cooked two herrings for herself and Susan, another two for Sam's supper when he came in. Then she went to bed with a hot bottle, wrapped in a flannel petticoat to help her rheumatics. Sam ate his supper and smoked a pipe by the fire, and then he went to bed. But Susan sat a long time by the fire considering. She considered many things. Fish, and ducks, and Percy with a lame foot, and dogs that eat mutton chops, and the yellow cat on the ship, and the pig. Susan thought it strange to see a pig upon a ship called the Pound of Candles. The mice peeped out under the cupboard door. The cinders fell together on the hearth. Susan purred gently in her sleep, and dreamed of fish and pigs. She could not understand that pig on board a ship, but I know all about him. End of chapter 1.